This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I need to stipulate something here as a preface to this next story. The free market is cold-blooded. It's heartless, really. Supply, demand, prices, they, in normal circumstances, find a balance, consumers adjust, and the economy goes on its merry way. What's going on down in Houston now, though, are not normal circumstances, which is why the Texas Attorney General's office has received almost 2,000 complaints of price gouging since Friday. But a lot of economists, not all of them, but a lot of them, will tell you that those often outrageously high prices can serve a market purpose. Marketplace's Adrian Hill explains.
Charging flood victims 30-some bucks for a case of water, $10 for a gallon of gas, doesn't sit right. But many economists will tell you that's just the market at work. Good old supply and demand.
Price gouging laws stand in the way of the normal workings of competitive markets.
Michael Salinger is an economics professor at Boston University and former director of the Bureau of Economics at the Federal Trade Commission. To make his point, Salinger recalls a Dennis the Menace cartoon.
Dennis asks his father what causes tides.
And his father says, the moon. Dennis offers up another explanation.
Well, I think there's a big whale in the middle of the ocean, and when he swishes his tail one way, the tide comes in. When he swishes his tail the other way, the tide goes out.
His father says, you don't really believe that, do you?
And Dennis said, well, you know, I don't, but it makes a lot more sense than the moon.
Letting markets work, allowing price hikes in times of disaster, says Salinger, is the moon answer. It's right, he says, but not intuitive. There are a couple reasons economists don't like laws against price gouging. Let's go back to supply and demand. Michael Giberson is an economics professor at Texas Tech. On the demand side, he says laws that keep prices low can encourage overbuying. They benefit the people who get to the store first.
And if prices don't rise, then they just sort of get plenty.
If water's cheap, I might be tempted to buy as much as I can carry, just in case. If, on the other hand, prices shoot up,
it encourages consumers to be a little more careful in using the goods.
Economists make a supply-side argument here, too.
So when the price of vital goods goes up in an area affected by an emergency, that sends a signal to areas not affected by that emergency to bring more.
Matt Zwolinski is director of University of San Diego's Center for Ethics, Economics, and Public Policy. Zwolinski argues that for both these reasons, both supply and demand, the practice of price gouging can actually be admirable from a purely moral perspective.
And the reason the practice is admirable is simply that it allocates scarce goods and services in a way that best meets human needs.
But as with much of economics, there is disagreement here. What are economists getting wrong when they say anti-price gouging laws are bad? What are they misunderstanding?
They're misunderstanding that if you people off, you pay a price.
Richard Thaler is an economist at the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago. He co-wrote a well-known paper on price gouging. It looked at what people think is fair.
The paper begins with the following scenario. A hardware store has been selling snow shovels for $15. The morning after a blizzard, they raised the price to $20. Is that fair? And people hate it. They all think that's a terrible idea.
Thaler argues that a business that wants to be in business tomorrow can't raise prices. Come time to rebuild, no one's going to want to buy new flooring from the guy that sold them the generator at double the normal rate. Businesses, economists, he says, should pay more attention to our shared social values.
During a time of crisis is a time for us all to pitch in. It's not a time for us to grab.
We have to think beyond the law of supply and demand, he says, beyond pure economics. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.